Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before beginning today's shiur, let us glance at the outside margin of the Daf that appears on your screen. You will notice that we have written Nosei. Nosei is a topic heading, one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of our Gemara marking system, is the topic headings and structural notes that appear from time to time. In this case, we have written the following, My Olol. The Gemara will be discussing that which was mentioned in the Mishnah. Amongst different items or food items or food-related items mentioned in the Mishnah was Olol. And here the Gemara will be asking, what is Olol? And Rabbi Yochanan will tell us, Martika. We will see that Martika, Rashi explains, is a type of sinewy substance that appears in the animal's neck. It's a hard, flexible substance that Rabbi Yochanan uses the term to explain. Olol uses the term Martika. And we've written Gid HaShedra VaHatzavor, a type of sinew that appears in the neck and spine of the animal. Reish Lakish will tell us that it's Bosor Shepoltosoi Sakin, that when skinning an animal, sometimes some of the animal's meat gets stuck to the skin as opposed to being separated from the skin while the skinning process takes place. So these pieces of skin, of flesh, of meat, that get stuck to the skin, is what Reish Lakish explains as the meaning of Olol. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Second line from the top, beginning of the line, the Olol. The Mishnah had mentioned, amongst the list of items, starting with Or and Rotov, it also mentioned that Olol is one of the things that are mitstarfin l'tami tumas ochlin, that if you have some food item and you have olol, if altogether you have an egg quantity of food stuff, namely some basic food stuff plus olol, then you will have something that communicates tumas ochlin, but not tumas nevelos. That was a point mentioned in the Mishnah way back on the Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Beis at the beginning of the Perek. So here the Gemara asks, My Olol, what is this? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Martika. Olol is a reference to Martika, and you can see Rashi at the top of the page. Gid HaShedra VaHatzavor. It's a sinew that's attached to the spine and the neck. V'hu Rochav V'lavon V'koshe Me'od. It is wide, it's white, and it's a hard substance, the koher noso, and Rashi then gives a French word for that. Reish Lakish, the Gemara continues, Reish Lakish Omar, Bosor Shepoltosoi Sakin. It's meat that the knife, that escaped the knife, that when the knife was being used to remove the skin from the animal, namely separating the skin from the meat, from the flesh of the animal, some of the meat, small portion of meat, got stuck to the skin. And that's what Reish Lakish says is the meaning of Olol. As you can see, we now have some markings. We have a geometric form. In this case, we call it the volcano form. More accurately, a trapezoid, and a little number one that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, you'll see another one of these, also labeled number two. in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have labeled this Kushios. Questions. We will raise questions, and as the Gemara goes on, there will be a refinement as to what or under what circumstances Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing. That will be highlighted by a double underline under the expression ki pligi, etc., and we will see that as it comes along. So now the Gemara, Meisvei. Here the Gemara cites as a question a pasuk from Iov. The pasuk says, "V'ulam atem tofle sheker roifei elul kulchem." Rashi explains that, without getting into the exact translation of the pasuk, Rashi explains that the friends of Iov came to him and started talking to him, and Iov responded to his friends and says that you people are simply putting together words of falsehood, lies, things that have things or suggestions you are saying, suggestions of refuah, of healing, that have no substance to it. As Rashi says, Dover Shein Bo Refuah Tem Omrim L'Refuasi, words of healing that have no healing value to them. So at this point, we are going to explain that, as you could see in the pasuk, you see the term rofei olil kulchem. So the word olol appears. Bishlam olamado martika. The things will work out according to the opinion that says olol is martika, namely Reb Yochanan. Hainu delav bar refuahu. It is then understandable that it's, let us say, this sinew in the animal's neck, let us say it tears, it's something that has no refuah, there's no healing, it's a it's a type of injury or disease that when it befalls the animal, it has no refuah. Then the explanation of the word olol in the Mishnah conforms to the word as it appears in the pasuk, the meaning of the pasuk, as we said, something that has no refuah to it, no healing value or no healing possibility. Elo l'man diomar boser shepotos osakin, according to Reish Lakish, who explained olol as being meat that got stuck to the skin, in other words, meat that was ripped off the animal. Well, if you have a live animal and meat gets ripped off of it, it's bar refuahu. If, as Rashi explains, if you were to, let's say, tie the meat that got ripped off an animal, tie it back onto the animal, in the course of time it will mend, it will heal itself. Therefore, to explain the word olol in the Mishnah as being boser shepotosu sakin, when we see in the pasuk that same word refers to something that is of, has no refuah to it, has no healing to it, we run into a problem. So the Gemara answers, ba'olol dekra dekuli alma lo pligi. As far as the translation of the pasuk olol in the pasuk, dekra is the pasuk, there is no argument. There, even Reish Lakish will concede that olol, or the word olol in the pasuk, is a reference to something that in fact has no refuah. Ki pligi ba'olol demasnisin. Now, you'll notice we have this double underline with dots in it. This is a focusing of the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the word olol in the Mishnah alone. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you when the word olol appears in the Mishnah, it refers to something that has no healing. Reish Lakish will say that the word olol in the Mishnah will include even something that does have healing, namely the case of boser shepotos osakin. Toshma. Well, we now bring a Tanaic source in. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'olol ha'machunos, gathered together olol, im yesh kezayis b'mokom echod, chayovin olov. If you have an olive quantity of olol in one place, then there will be a chiyuv. Now, Rashi explains chiyuv means a chiyuv mishum nevela. In other words, if you have olol that came from an animal that happened to die, that wasn't slaughtered, It will then have nevela status. That's in general terms, nevela is meat that comes from an animal that died, and one who eats it or touches it or carries it will absorb tumas nevela. This source is saying that if one ate olol hamachunas and then, let us say, went into the base hamigdash, he is entering in a state of tuma, and he will therefore be chayav. He's considered a violator of the rules of tuma and base hamigdash. The Omar Rav Huna, v'hu shekonsoi, the case of olol hamachunas will result in this chiyuv, is if he gathered it together. In other words, the person not knowingly gathered together the olol. Otherwise, if he doesn't gather it together, it will be considered botel, considered void and having no significance. So now, having all of this in mind, the Gemara continues. Bishlamo lemado merbosu shepotosu sakin, according to Reish Lakish. You'll notice, by the way, that in this piece of Gemara, things work out better according to the Reish Lakish approach. If you look at the word Bishlamo, we have it dot underlined. Compare this with the Bishlamo four lines from the top at the end of the line. There, things would have worked out better according to Rabbi Yochanan. Just a structural note. But we continue here. Things here will work out better according to Reish Lakish, who interprets olol as bosu shepotosu sakin hainu. With that, I understand the chi'ika kezayis mechayev, that if there is an olive quantity of olol, what does it mean according to Reish Lakish? An olive quantity of meat that is gathered together, meat that got stuck to the skin while skinning. I understand that if you have an olive quantity, it will result in a nevela tuma violation. Elo lamando mamartika, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who explained olol as being this sinew substance, ki iko kezayis ma'iko, even if you have a kezayis of this, so what? It still wouldn't be considered nevela eitz ba'almahu. It's considered like a piece of wood. In other words, the dinim of nevela are stated concerning meat of a dead animal. Not, for example, the bones or the horns or the hooves or in even the sinew, as Rabbi Yochanan explained, martika. As far as nevela is concerned, in the context of a nevela discussion, the martika would be no worse than a piece of wood, something that would not lead to any nevela or tumah violation. So at this point, we would have a kasha from the Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yehuda appeared on a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara responds and says, Alibo de Rabbi Yehuda lo pligi. As far as the definition of olol within Rabbi Yehuda, there is no argument. Namely, olol means boser shel potos sakin. Even Rabbi Yochanan will concede to that. Ki pligi, alibo de Rabbanan. The Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is within the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Martika Nami Mitzdarev. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, not only will Boser Shel Potos Sakin join together to create Tumas Ochlin, but even Martika, even this sinew substance, combined with other food item, another meat, if you will, and equaling an egg in quantity, will result in Tumas Ochlin. For Reish Lakish Omar, Davka Boser Shel Potos Sakin. Reish Lakish says that as far as what would be mitzdaref to create Tumas Ochlin that the Mishnah spoke about, only Boser Shel Potos Sakin, these pieces of meat that stuck to the skin. Avo Martika lo mitzdaref. But Martika, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, even according to the Tanakama of the Mishnah, not only Rabbi Yehuda but Tanakama as well, there will be no tziruf, there will be no joining together. Now the Gemara focuses on Reish Lakish's explanation and says, and wants to know regarding the Basar Shepotos HaSakin, what are the circumstances? Hai Basar Shepotos HaSakin Hechidomi. E dechoshiv ole, if it's something that he planned upon eating, then afilu ba'anpe nafshe mitamo. It would then be able to communicate or to absorb tumas ochlin even without tsiruf, even without it being joined up with other food items. The idolo choshiv olei, and if he didn't have any thoughts concerning it, then betule batle, then it will become void and simply be considered skin and having no value in and of itself. So our question right now is, what are the circumstances concerning the Bosesh HaPotos HaSakin, or Olol, that will on its own not generate Tumas Ochlin, but if joined together with other food to equal a kabetza, an egg in quantity, then it would result in Tumas Ochlin. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Meisha. We have two opinions. Chad Omar, Miktsoso Chishev Olov. The Chad Omar, Miktsoso Potoso Chayo, Umiktsoso Potoso Sakin. Now, as far as explaining what has just been said, there is a comment found in Rashi, but nevertheless, the commentaries forward one to the Maharshal found in the back of many large volume Gemaras. And this comment is here to explain what is meant by Chad Omar Miktsoso Chishev Olov. One will find in the Marshal, or as known as the Chochmas Shlomo, the following. So we will read what he says. He quotes that he sees from the Rashi commentary, Miktsoso Chishev Olov the Ochlo, Umiktsoso Lo Chishev. We're dealing with skin, with meat that got stuck to skin during the skinning process. Some of the pieces of meat he had intended to eat, and some he didn't express any intention to eat. The Marshal explains, Mitzaref hai miktsas shelo chishev behadi hai shechishev. The partial amount that he did not have intent to eat joins up with the partial that he did have intent to eat. The goli daite b'hai miktsas shechishev. He is revealing a certain mindset by the fact that he had specific intentions to eat some of the meat stuck to the skin. The lo batle hai miktsas shelo chishev, that he did not have any intent of voiding that which he did not think about. So that you have a situation we can call a neutral situation, or let us say this more accurately, of some is positive in the sense of declaring it food in his mind, and some that he remained neutral about. And so since some of it he had intent to eat, that shows us that the other little pieces of meat that were stuck to the skin don't become void, and hence umitztarfin zeim ze likabetza. Hence they can join one with the other to form the betza quantity, the egg quantity of meat necessary for tumas ochlin. Similarly, when we look at the next comment made in the Gemara, the second point, which said Mitzoso Potoso Chayo, Mitzoso Potoso Sakin. Let us glance at Rashi for this. The second line under the Gemara commentary, under the Gemara text, Rashi says, Potosus Chaya, Noshcho Kelev, Vidildel Minobosur, Litzad Ho'or. A dog attacked an animal and ripped out some skin with flesh attached to it. The acharkach shochta, and then the owner of the animal that was attacked, let's say the owner of the sheep, then slaughtered the sheep. The hiflit gam hasakin od. And when skinning the sheep, bear in mind we're skinning a sheep with a little flap of skin already ripped away with some meat attached to it as a result of the dog's attack. And while skinning, he also doesn't get all the meat separated. V'ein yodua e ze mehen polta chaya ve'e ze sakin. And it's not clear after the skinning takes place which pieces of meat are attached to the skin as a result of the dog attack, and which are which pieces of meat are a function of stuff that was left during the skinning. Vahuda potosu chaya lo botil mistamo. The meat that's attached as a result of the animal attack, well, since the owner had nothing to do with the meat sticking to the skin there, so he probably didn't have any mindset avoiding it. But the meat that got stuck while the owner, was doing the skinning, batle midas, there, he probably had no intention, he was voiding it in his mind. V'kula b'dolo choshev olei. And all of it is a case where he had no real intention of eating that meat. However, the issue here is that some there was no bittel on, and others and other pieces there was bittel on it. Hilkoch ki havei b'hadi shar ochlin. Therefore, when you have this meat with other formal food, other formal meat, then mitzarif ahuktsas t'chayo b'hadayu. The piece of meat that was clinging to the skin as a result of the animal attack, that will join up. Now, according to the Marshal, he seems to indicate that not only will the chaya attack meat join, but the other meat will also, the meat that was potosu sakin will join. The Marshal applies the explanation he gave for the first piece, for the first opinion, to this opinion as well. So for further illustration or further detail, we recommend going over that Marshal, but in the meantime, we will continue. The main point right now is, under what circumstances is it that the Bosesh HaPotosu Sakin will not on its own form the kibetza, but will form the kibetza when joined with other food? So to answer that, we saw two opinions. Continuing in the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, a source is taught concerning Nevelas Of Tohor, dead kosher variety bird, or simply stated, dead chicken. It says, Hachartum vatsipornayim mitamin umitamin umitstarfin. These expressions, mitamin, mitamin, starfin, are familiar to us from previous sugyas concerning shomrim. The chartum is the beak, tsipornayim, the claws, serve as a conduit of tuma, and also join together with other food. Mitzarfin is an indication that they will join together with other food to form a kibetza, an egg quantity of food for tumas ochlin. The Gemara now focuses on the two examples in this source, or two cases in this source, beak and claws. The Gemara asks, Chartum eitz ba'almahu. Chartum, the beak of an animal, is it's not How could it? It's like a piece of wood as far as we are concerned. Namely, how could it join with other food to form a kibetza of food? It's something that's totally inedible. Omar Rebbe Lozer, b'chartum tachtoin. We're talking about the lower part of the beak. The Gemara asks, well, tachto nami eitz ba'amahu, the lower part is also inedible. It's also a piece of wood as far as halacha is concerned. Omar Rav Papa, tachtoin shel elyon. We're talking about the inner lining of the upper part of the beak. Now, the inner lining is not the hard beak material, but rather a type of skin or softer material that maybe on its own one would not eat, but it joined together with other food, it can complete the shear of a kibetza. Tziponayim. Regarding the claws, the chicken's nails, the same question could be raised, and the Gemara immediately explains, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mokom Hamuvloyin Babosar. We're not talking about the visible exterior part of the external part of the nails, but rather the nails of the chicken grow into its foot, or into its toes. So the internal part of the nails, that's a softer material, and hence that's what's described in the source as being able to join up with other food. You'll notice we have a period here. Based on the Tosfos, the next word, karnayim, is a throwback or a quote from the Mishnah. And it was mentioned in the Mishnah amongst the items, the list of things that join up that can be mitzaref to form a food, to form a kibetza food, karnayim were mentioned. Karnayim are animal horns, but once again, animal horns are hard material. How could it be suggested that animal horns will join up with other food to complete an egg quantity for Tumas Ochlin? So the Gemara here addresses that issue and explains, Omar of Papa, b'mokon shechoitchin v'yoytze mehem dam. It's a part of the animal's horn that if you were to cut it, it would bleed. In other words, it's a part of the horn very close to the head, possibly inset into the head. At that point, it's softer than the exterior section of the horn, the external part of the horn, which is, as we said before, would be termed Eitz B'Alma. Kayotze bo hashochet behema. At this point, the Gemara is now going to analyze the latter part of the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of the Perek, where reference was made to the slaughter of an animal, an animal that of an unkosher variety animal that was shechted, that was slaughtered, and it's let us say a Jew slaughtered a horse or a pig for a Gentile, and the animal is still fluttering, what the Mishnah called mefarcheses. The Mishnah had said that it's mitametumas ochlin, but it's not considered a nevela. It's not mitametumas nevelas until it actually dies, until it stops this flapping movement. That is as far as what we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Omar Rabbi Asi. Actually, before we continue in the Gemara, we can simply glance at the outside margin for a topic heading, the Nosei. There we have written, Yisrael HaShochet Behemo Tameo, a Jew who slaughters an unkosher variety animal, Ve'akum HaShochet Behemo Tehora, or a Gentile who slaughters a kosher variety animal. We will learn that Tzricha Hechsher Kedei L'Kabel Tumas Ochlin. In order for it to be considered a food item, it needs to experience hechsher. Hechsher is a case where it gets wet. It's rinsed off, or it's wet and you approve of the wetness that's on it. Once it achieves hechsher, then it becomes liable to Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Ochlin in this case would be that if the, let us say, this the meat in question, or the animal that we are describing, the animal was just freshly slaughtered, happens to, it's still flapping around, and it touches a sheretz, that would make the animal that's flapping around, just as it's, just as soon as it's been slaughtered, tomei, because of the contact with the sheretz. And that's what was meant by the term mitamin, it absorbs tuma. And then if that flapping around animal comes into contact with other food while it's flapping around, it will then communicate tuma to that second food item. Omar Rebbe Asi, shonin. Shonin is an expression meaning that tanoim taught. Hence we have a frame around the next two lines, this being considered Tanaic literature. Yisrael b'tameo, that means a Jew who slaughtered an unkosher variety animal, the oved kochovim b'tahora, or a Gentile who slaughtered a kosher variety animal, tzrichin machshava v'hechsher mimokom acher. Machshava means an intent to eat it. Hechsher, we explained already, is this wetness, and Hechsher mimokom acher is a reference to it becoming wet from an outside source, as opposed to the blood of its own shechita. The blood that runs out while it's being slaughtered would not create hechsher in either one of these cases. The Gemara asks a question. The question here is a long question, and we have a long question indicator. The little kuf you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicates that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this marking constitute the question, and this continues to the top line of Amud Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, we might as well explain the gist of the question is, why are we taught here that it requires hechsher? Is it not so that eventually this meat will metame tuma chamura, which means as a nevela, as a dead animal? After all, we're talking about an animal that will not be kosher for Jewish consumption. We're talking about a Jew slaughtering a pig or a Gentile slaughtering a cow. In either one of those cases, eventually when the animal stops flapping around, it's going to be completely dead, and hence a nevela. A nevela is something that communicates tuma to people and to vessels. It's a high level of tuma. That's called tuma chamura. And as such, the rule is that something that is metame tuma chamura doesn't require hechsher, doesn't require this wetting or rinsing or wetting in order for tuma to play a role. It will be metame anyway. So our question is, why is there any need, or why is there any expectation of hechsher in order to facilitate or to enable tuma to play a role? The Gemara. Let's now inside. Hechsher lomali. Why is there any need for hechsher? Soifa letame tuma chamura. V'chol shesoifa letame tuma chamura lo boi hechsher. In the end, after this animal stops flapping around, it's going to communicate tumas nevela, which is called tuma chamura. And the rule, as the Gemara will show very shortly, the rule says that anything that comes to metame tuma chamura does not need hechsher. In other words, simply stated, nevela will metame even if there's no hechsher. Detani debate Rabbi Shmuel. We have the following Tanaic source. The pasuk says, "V'chiyutan mayim al zera, ma zroyim." The pasuk itself means water that is placed on zera. Zera are seeds, vegetables, and just like zroyim, she'ein soifan letame tuma chamura, tzrichin hechsher. The pasuk speaks about zroyim. Now, food items like vegetables and fruits and seeds, these things, even when they become tomei, cannot metame people. they're not mitama vessels nor people. They're not mitama tumah chamura. So it's in this context that the Torah speaks about hechsher. That's v'chiyutan mayim. So just like zroyim, which are characterized by the fact that they're not mitama tumah chamura, and they need hechsher, af kol she'ein sof l'tama tumah chamura tzorach hechsher, so to anything else that will not come to tumah chamura requires hechsher. The corollary, something that would be mitama tumah chamura, like nevela, would not need hechsher. V'tanya, and another Tanaic source, Omer Rabbi Yosi, mitnei ma'omru nevelas of tor tzricha machshava v'eino tzricha hechsher. Based on what has it been said that a dead kosher variety bird or dead chicken needs machshava, needs a plan to eat it. One, in other words, one needs to intend to eat it in order for it to be considered ochlin. However, once one has a machshava concerning eating it, it doesn't require hechsher. Now, we've dashed underline that because as far as our discussion, this is the main point, that it doesn't require hechsher. Why is it so? Mipnei shesofa l'tama tuma chamura. Because if one eats a dead chicken, even though Nevela Sof Torah doesn't communicate tuma through mago or through masa, but it does communicate tuma to a person while he eats it, indicating that it has a tuma chamura element, therefore it does not require hechsher. So then, once again, why, regarding the slaughtering in our Mishnah, are we saying that the animal, let us say, the kosher variety animal slaughtered by a goy, or the unkosher variety animal slaughtered by a Jew, requires hechsher? Omar Chizkiyah. So Chizkiyah answers, he explains the circumstances behind our Mishnah. Basically, Chizkiyah will explain that our Mishnah, which is talking about an animal that's flapping around, is actually a situation that doesn't necessarily come to Tuma Chamura. He says, Hoyol v'yochol l'goyra u'lahamida al pochos mikazayas. In other words, if one, with a rapid movement of his knife, encounters an animal just slaughtered, it's still flapping around, he can cut it into very small pieces, pieces that are less than a kezias, less than an olive quantity, while it's still flapping around. And as such, it being that they're pieces less than a kezias, they won't be able to communicate tuma chamura anyway. So since he does this while it's still flapping around, before it's become a nevela, it won't metame tuma chamura. And as a result of that, it does require hechsher. The Gemara now raises a question, and you'll notice that it's a long question, as is symbolized by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled and the ensuing descending dashed line. Omar lei Rabbi Yirmiya l'Rabbi Zera, mi omar Chizkiyah hachi. Is Chizkiyah really of the opinion that while it's still flapping around, there is no tumas nevela, that it's not considered dead? Voyitmar, it has been stated, shochat bo shnayim urov shnayim, v'adayin hi mefarcheses. An animal that its two neck organs, trachea and esophagus, or the majority of those two, have been severed in a shechita process, v'adayin hi mefarcheses, and the animal is still flapping around. Chizkiyah omar eino le'evorim. Now, our emphasis in this discussion is on Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah says that there will be no problem of Eiver min hachai. Rashi says, Ein ben Noach muzer aleim mishum Eiver min hachai. That a Gentile who in general is forbidden from eating limbs removed from a live animal. In this case, you've got a flapping around animal. If a limb were ripped off from it at this point, a Gentile who generally is warned against eating Eber Menachai will not be in violation because it's considered completely dead. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshna Leivorem. Now, the Gemara goes over these two opinions. Chizkiya Amar Eino Leivorem. As we explained, a Ben Noach would not be considered in violation. Mesohi, it's already dead. Compare this with what we had said earlier. There's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This line, and we've emphasized on this line, Mesohi, compare it to the arrow you find above. It points to what we wrote in, where it says, Ukim mefarcheses adayin nechshav chai. While it's flapping around, it's considered alive. Here we have an animal flapping around, and Chizkiah himself describes it as dead. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara goes on, says, Omar yeshno levorim lav mesohi. We're not here to emphasize Rabbi Yochanan's opinion at this point, but Rabbi Yochanan says that yeshno levorim means there is a problem of Eber Menachai because it's not considered dead. So the issue right now is, why does our Mishnah say, and we're working within Chizkiah, according to Chizkiah, why does our Mishnah say that the freshly slaughtered animal that's still flapping around needs hechsher? According to Chizkiah over here, we see that it is mesa, and it would be metametuma chamura, and as such it would not require hechsher. So why does Chizkiah say above that while it's mefarcheses, it's still considered alive? Omar lay. So here, we have Rabbi Zeira answering Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Yotzisa michlal chaya ulchal meisa lobos. Technically speaking, while the animal is flapping around, it's left the category of being completely alive. As a result of that, there is no Eiver min hachai problem. However, it's not a nevela yet either. And as a result of that, it will require hechsher. So it's a type of in-between period or twilight zone. It's not here nor there. And as a result of that, we find two halachas that would otherwise appear contradictory. But nevertheless, the chiddush of the Gemara is that there's a state of being in the middle that's not here nor there. Hence, as far as Eiver Menachai is concerned, it's Yosisa Michal Chai according to Chizkiah, and there is no Eiver Menachai problem. However, it's not yet Mitama Tumo Chamura, and as a result of that, there is a need for hechsher. The Gemara goes on, at this point, going over that which we just said. Namely, we're going to focus on the din of Eiver Minachai regarding an animal that was shechted and still flapping around. And the Gemara will then go on to bring a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So up till now, we actually de-emphasized Rabbi Yochanan, but as the Gemara goes on, we will then focus more on his approach, being that a Tanaic source is brought in to support his direction. Gufa. Gufa is a word indicating something that's quoted and focused upon. We're focusing upon something that was quoted or mentioned earlier in a by-the-way fashion. Gufa, shachat bo shnayim o roiv shnayim, v'adayin hi mefarcheses. An animal whose neck organs were, the two neck organs were slaughtered, or the majority of them were slaughtered, and it's still flapping around. Chizkiah eino leivorim. Chizkiah tells us that there is no longer any Eiver Minachai problem. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yeshno leivorim. that there still is an aver min achai pam, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, while it's flapping around, it's considered completely alive, at least with regard to the din of aver min achai. We will, as the Gemara goes on, we will have to limit our discussion to the case of either a Jew slaughtering an unkosher variety animal or a Gentile slaughtering a kosher variety animal. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Nekot Laha de Rebbe Yochanan Biyadach. Rebbe Elazar says you should take Rebbe Yochanan's opinion as the main opinion, as the one to accept. Detoni Rav Oshaya Kavosei. Rav Oshaya presents a Tanaic source that will support Rabbi Yochanan's approach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, a limb ripped off an animal that was just slaughtered and still flapping around is forbidden to a Ben Noach, is forbidden for a Gentile to eat. And we will see that in the following Tanaic source, the Tani Rav Oshaya. You'll notice we have a very long source with several parts to it. We have indicated a Roman numeral number 1 and an underlined expression, Yisrael Sheshachabem Otameya Lovi Kuchavim, and a few lines later, a Roman numeral number 2 and an underlined part, where it says, Ovi Kuchavim Sheshachat Behemo Tehura Li Yisrael U Mefarcheses. The first part deals with the Jew slaughtering an unkosher variety animal for a Gentile to eat, and the second section deals with a Gentile slaughtering a kosher variety animal for a Jew. Now, in both of these cases, we can say, obviously, one isn't going to be able to actually eat the meat. We could point out that if one were able to actually eat the meat, then, even though the animal is still flapping around, from the Torah standpoint, not rabbinic, but from the Torah level of halacha, since it's been properly slaughtered and can be eaten, it's considered completely dead. And then another standard would be applied. But we're not talking about that case. We're talking about two cases, we'll say a notch down, where there's a certain element of allowance, but it's not going to be allowed. What do we mean by a certain element? Well, on the one hand, who is doing the slaughtering, and the other issue is what is being slaughtered. So if you don't have both elements in place, so then it is then represented in our upcoming discussion. Yisrael Sheshochat Behemo Tameo Laovei Kuchavim. A Jew slaughtered an unkosher variety animal for a Gentile. Shochat bo shnaim urov shnaim umefarcheses. If the neck organs were severed, and we should point out that we've broken down this first section into several parts, indicated by 1, 2, and 3, as you will see the circled numbers as we go along. So the first part of this Roman numeral number 1 case speaks about a what would appear to be a full-fledged shechita as far as neck organs are concerned, not forgetting for a moment that we're dealing with the slaughtering of a horse, and it's still flapping around. What are the halachas? Mitame tumas ochlin, avolo tumas nevelos. It is considered a food item and not considered a nevela, as a food item, as we explained earlier. If, let us say, while it's flapping around, it happened to come into contact with a sheretz. A sheretz is a source of tuma. It would then metame this animal that's flapping around, and if, while flapping around, it touches some other food, it will communicate tuma to that second food item. However, it's not metama tumas nevelos because it's still considered alive. Another point concerning this stage where it's mefarcheses, eiver haporesh mimeno keporesh min achai. This is of great significance for us. The description of a limb removed from it at this stage is considered Eiver Minachai. Ubosar Purish Mimeno Kabosar Purish Minachai, but also Livnei Noach. Vafilu Lachar Shetetse Nafsha. This limb or flesh that's removed, cut away from the animal while it's flapping around, is considered Minachai, and hence it will be forbidden to a Gentile even after it stops flapping. In other words, focusing on the fact that it was removed while it was flapping, it becomes permanently forbidden to the Gentile. We should say it becomes forbidden to the Gentile as Eiver Minachai. That is the point that supports Rabbi Yochanan. As we saw above, Rabbi Yochanan said that the Adayin Mefarcheses situation is considered Yeshno Leivorim. There is an Eiver Minachai problem. Number two, Shochat Bo Echod or Rov Echod. If the horse that was being slaughtered by the Jew had only one of its two neck organs severed, or the majority of one alone, well, Eino Mitama Tumas Ochlin, it's not considered a food item. We don't find any, there's no precedent for a slaughtering of one neck organ, and since there's no precedent for the slaughtering of one neck organ when you're dealing with animals, so it doesn't gain an ochlin status, a food status. You'll notice that we have a little aleph in parentheses. Here, the aleph is in order for you to connect it back with the aleph that you saw previously, where it said it was metamet tumas ochlin. But that was because that was a case where two neck organs were severed. Here, in contrast, where only one neck organ is severed, it's not metame tumas ochlin. Three, nochra. Nochra means it was pierced. In other words, there was no cutting of neck organs whatsoever. It was killed through nechira. Ein, and it's still flapping around. Ein bo tuma shel klum. There is no tuma whatsoever. As we continue, Roman numeral number 2. The Oved Kochovim Sheshochat Behemot Tehoru Yisrael Mefarcheses. A Gentile slaughters a kosher variety animal for a Jew, to eat, and it's still flapping around. You'll notice a number of similar points that we saw above. Metame tumas ochlin, avolo tumas nevela. Ever haporesh mimeno keporesh minachai, ubosur haporesh mimeno keporesh minachai, v'osur livnei noach v'afilu lachar shetetze nafsha. So far, all of this is the same as above. Shochat bo echod o rov echod, eino metame tumas ochlin. This too we saw above. Nochara ein bo tumas shel klum. The Tosfos points out, Nochara ein bo tumas shel klum, hainu nami ein metama tumas ochlin, dekotoni gabi shochat bo simen echod. This, in effect, is the same as the case of one neck organ being severed, namely, there is no tumas ochlin. Elo Rashi, the Tosfos continues to say, Elo mishum delo osa bo derech shchita nokar hai lishna. The reason for the difference in language, here it says ein bo tuma shel klum, and above it had said under when one neck organ was slaughtered, the term used was eino metama tumas ochlin. Here it's because there wasn't even an attempt at slaughtering; it was rather pierced or shot or stabbed, and that's why the difference in language. Turning back to the Tanaic source. You notice we have two diamonds here. It's to emphasize the two new cases. Shochat oved kochavim b'mokom she'ein oisa treifa. This means a Gentile came along and severed half, but not more than that, just a half of the trachea. That's called a chatzikona. An animal with a severed trachea that is less, or just up to a half, not more, is not a trefa. That's called, in this case, Malkum Shein Oisos a trefa, Ubo Yisrael v'gomra. And a Jew comes along and finishes off the slaughtering, makes a slight, he may even make a very slight additional incision into that kona, kshera. It's considered a kosher slaughtering. The reason being that the action the Gentile did was of no consequence whatsoever. Shochat Yisrael, bein b'mokom sheiso satrefa, u'bein b'mokom she'eno satrefa. A Jew comes along and slaughters it, let us say, even half of the trachea. That's the case of Ein Mokum Sheino Sosa Trefa. Uboi V'Kachom V'Gomar. And the Gentile comes along and finishes it off. Shchitoso Psula. That's an unacceptable shchita, because in this case, the Gentile did the entire job. Now, we might as well point out that the Chiddush here is that even if the Jew, let us say, slaughtered the majority of the trachea, the fact that a Gentile completes the job, that ruins the shechita. Now, a totally new point. Haroitze shiochal mibehemo kodim shetetze nafsha. If a person wants to eat meat from an animal before its life breath completely departs, chotech kezayis boser mibeis shchitasa, he can cut away an olive quantity of meat from the neck. What we are describing, let's make no mistake, is in the middle of the shchita process. In other words, while at the point that a person finished, let's say, slaughtered the majority of the two neck organs, if at that point you want to eat meat from the animal, though the animal is still flapping around, so that's called kodim shetetze nafsha, you can cut away an olive quantity of meat from the neck, which is basically very close to where your knife is located right now, because you just finished the slaughtering of the two neck organs. Taking away that piece, then you after cutting away that piece of meat, salt it, molcho yofa yofa, salt it thoroughly. The reason the double expression yofa yofa is here, as opposed to in general, is because since it's still flapping around, there's still life breath to it, you are cutting away a piece of meat that the blood of the animal is still in it. What we mean by that is that after the shechita, the animal flaps around, and at that point its last gasps of breath cause a release of the majority of the animal's blood. It's true that even after that, we still have malicha, still salting is necessary, but intense salting is not. In this case, since you've removed the meat before its last gasps have taken place, so there's more blood in the meat than you would find in general. Therefore, you need to have a careful malicha, umadichoy yofe yofe, and then rinse it off thoroughly, umamtin lo ad shetetze nafsha, and then wait till it stops flapping around, the ochlo, and you can eat it. Echoloi v'kichovim v'echod Yisrael mutorin bo. Gentile and Jew alike are allowed to partake of this. So what you're basically eating is you're eating meat removed from an animal, though it's after the halachic, the legal slaughtering has taken place, but it's before the life breath has departed the animal. This is allowed. Misayale Rav Idi Bar Ovin, the Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashion. The source supports Rav Idi's teaching. Haroitza Shiyavri, a person who wants to experience a remedy or health, good health, wants to get better. Yavri literally means someone wants to get better. Chotech kezayas boser mibeis shchita, umocho yofe yofe, umadicho yofe yofe. He should do this, and by the way, these are the same words that we saw in the Tanaic source. He would cut away an olive quantity of meat from the neck, salt it, and rinse it thoroughly. Umamtin lo ad shetetzeh nafsho, and wait for the life breath to depart. Echad oy v'kochav v'echad Yisrael mutarin bo. So he is telling us that it's also, this is considered very healthful, and his teaching, Rav Idi Bar Oven's recommendation, is supported by the Tanaic source that we read just before. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. We have a house form, and on the outside margin, we've written under the Mivneh heading, She'elos Hakshuros LeTmeo Shenishchato Ayidei Yisrael UTehoro Shenishchato Al Yidei Goy. A couple of questions that have a common thread to them: the cases of an unkosher type animal slaughtered by a Jew, or kosher variety animals slaughtered by a Gentile. Now, we have said above that if you have one of these two cases, there's an element of an element, but not at total, an element of acceptability. To the extent that it becomes considered food because of its being considered a shechita on a certain level. We are considering these, we call them odd cases, but or exceptional cases. We are considering them a shechita on a certain level. The fact that we're viewing the meat as not nevela, but as ochlin, shows us that a certain level of shechita is accepted. Being that that's the case, we know there are other laws of shechita. There are details in order for something to be considered shechita. For example, while slaughtering, one is not allowed to pause. One is not allowed to apply a downward pressure motion. That's called drisa. So let us say that while doing the shechita that we just described, a Jew shechting a horse, let us say that while he's shechting, let's say the Jew is shechting the horse, he pauses in the middle. Will that remove the shechita status? Will that then make it like a case of it being stabbed? And we saw in the case of Nechira, in the Tanaic source, we saw under there was a circled number 3, we saw that Ein bo tumas shel klum. There would be no tumas ochlin, wouldn't be considered ochlin whatsoever. The Gemara, boy Rav Elazar, shoha ba, shoha is a delay, doras ba, or he did a downward, applied a downward pressure, a chopping motion as opposed to a back and forth slicing action, mahu. Will that make it be considered a non-shechita? Will it be considered like nechira? And if it's considered like nechira, then there wouldn't be tumas ochlin. Omar le hahu saba. So Rav Elazar asked the question, hahu saba, a certain old man, came and said, hachi om Rav Yochanan. He quoted Rav Yochanan that said, tzricha hechsher shechita kebehema tahora. These exceptional slaughtering cases, if you want it to be considered ochlin, it requires shechita like the shechita required of a behemah Torah, of a full-fledged, normal, kosher shechita of a kosher variety animal, which means it would require a shechita like you would require shechita to ready something for actual eating. Which basically means that if you do pause or do dores, it will render it a non-shechita, and there will in fact be no tumas ochlin. The Gemara asks, there was a term used which we dashed on the line, hechsher shechita. Hechsher lamai. What do you mean, what halacha do you mean to convey when you say this term? Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, bedikas sakin. one also would have to be sure that the knife that's used is checked from notches, that there are no notches or kinks in the knife. It has to be a completely smooth knife in order for it to be considered in order to have the Shechita standard apply. Ba mine Rabbi Zera Mirav Sheshes. Rabbi Zera asks, Mahu Shetatzil al Habluim Shebesocha. Once again, we're talking about the case of Jews slaughtering unkosher variety animal or Gentile slaughtering kosher variety animal, and it's flapping around. And this animal had swallowed vessels before it was slaughtered. The animal is now flapping around, and while it's flapping around, it happens to be in an oil hames. An oil hames is a situation where there is a body, and it's overshadowed by a roof, and under the same roof as the dead body, the dead human being, you also have this flapping around animal that happens to have a vessel that it swallowed. The question is this flapping animal considered or treated with the same standard that we would treat a fully live animal? A fully live animal, the law says that if it happened to have swallowed a vessel and walks into an oil hames, the vessel that's balua, that's absorbed in the animal, will not absorb tumas meis. It won't be affected by the fact that it's under the same roof as a body. That's called matzil. It's protected, it's saved from tumas meis. The question then is a flapping animal that has been slaughtered, but the life breath is still in it, does it protect vessels that are inside it the same way that a totally live animal would accomplish? Omar Le, Rav Sheshes answers, Mitama Tumas Ochlin Umatzelis. Well, we know that an animal that's flapping around is considered food, and as such, it's not considered alive. And how in the world could you expect it to protect vessels that are inside of it? Omar Le, so Rabbi Zera says back, well, eino mitama tumas nevevas v'lo tatzil, but on the other hand, while it's still flapping around, it doesn't communicate the tuma that's characteristic of a dead animal. So it's not considered dead. Therefore, why should it not matzil? Omar Abaye. Abaye rules, he rules a double stringency here. He says, Eino matzeles al habluim shebesocha. It will not protect vessels that are inside of it. Toha metama tumas ochlin. Because we know that it's considered a food item and not a live animal. The harova, however, if someone were to conduct bestiality with this animal while it's flapping around, chayov, he will be guilty of having done this major sin of intimacy with an animal. Toha'eno mitama tumas nevela. It's considered alive enough as to result in guilt upon someone who conducts relations with it. Of course, it goes without saying that if someone might have committed an act of intimacy with a dead animal, as disgusting and reprehensible as that may appear, legally speaking, it's not considered rovea. It's not considered bestiality. So you can see that Abaye has a double chumrah, double stringency regarding the flapping animal. It's not considered alive as far as, say, as protecting the vessels inside of it, and it's not considered dead as to offer an exemption for someone that conducts bestiality. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.